While I share a couple things with you, if you want to start turning to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, we are talking about, is it wrong to be rich? This is part 2 of that message. If you didn't get part 1, I am sorry to say we didn't get it on video last week. Little technical glitch that kept us from being able to do that. It did get on audio, and the audio is up on our website, and it's well worth hearing, although I will try to catch you up briefly today. So while you're turning to Proverbs, though, I do want to share a couple of my favorite wealth and money one-liners. Here we go. I remember being so much in debt that I couldn't afford my electric bill. It was a dark time. I had my credit card stolen the other day, but I didn't bother to report it because the thief spends less than my wife. Husband and wife talking. Husband says, I think you only married me because my daddy left me a lot of money. And the wife responds, that's not true. I don't care who left you the money. I had to get even for the other one. Advice, always borrow money from a pessimist. He won't expect to get it back anyway. Last one. You guys are just not loving these today, but I'm loving them. They're all good for me. To this day, the boy that used to bully me at school takes my lunch money. On the plus side, he makes a great Subway sandwich. Okay, save the best for last. I got a few laughs. So last week we were looking at scripture to see if being rich is in and of itself evil. It's amazing to me, by the way, I was looking up different quotes about money. It's amazing how many people, famous people, literary type people, had nothing good to say about anybody who had money. They were hateful toward people who had money. They had nothing but negative things to say. They in some cases made statements like, everybody who ever made money had to cheat to do it. I don't know whether you realize that or not, but that's the way some people feel. And by the way, that's why I started doing this little series on money and whether it's bad to be rich. Because there are people right now, Mark alluded to it just a little bit ago, in the government, there are people who are calling good bad and bad good and mixing the things together and conflating things on purpose to make other people hate people. And so there are even rich people who are now afraid to be rich, like they're trying to hide from the fact that they're rich, because being rich is really a bad thing. If you're a billionaire, you're probably some kind of dirty, rotten scoundrel. But what if you're not? And what does the Bible say? So we looked at some of what the Bible says, and it's amazing how many people God made rich. If being rich is evil, then God did a lot of evil to a lot of people. Think about it. Was it evil of God to bless Abraham, Isaac, Jacob? Was it evil? Is it evil of God to bless you? I don't think so. We also saw that wealthy people do something that's amazing. Wealthy people make money. They are generators of finances. And I believe some people, whether they use their gift for God or not, are nevertheless gifted God from the beginning of time to be generators of wealth. That's what they do. They have that something that makes them able to do that. And not everybody can. And maybe not everybody should. I don't know. We saw that Job's, initial 500 yoke of oxen that then God blessed and turned into 1,000 yoke of oxen on the second round. I made point of that. A yoke of oxen isn't just the number of oxen. There is a reason they're yoked together. They create wealth because somebody has to drive that yoke of oxen. So he ended up with 1,000 yoke of oxen, which was 1,000 jobs for 1,000 employees. And I didn't go into it, but if you look at 6,000 camels, do you know a camel was the 18-wheeler of the Middle East back in the day? It was the thing that could carry the most. They didn't eat camel, at least not very often. They kept the camel because it was so useful because it could carry so much and go so far. If he had 6,000 camels, he was employing a lot of people who were going distances and doing a lot of trade, and they would bring the stuff that he had to those other peoples, and those other peoples would give them things, and they would bring that stuff back. So he was a logistics master of some kind that had all these camels that were going out and coming back loaded with stuff. And it was jobs for people. Don't be angry at rich people if they create jobs. And by the way, that's what most rich people do. They put their money to work. And where does it work? In other people. So we talked about that all last week. And as we mentioned last week, Solomon's wealth was so great that silver became of little value. Everything was made of gold. 2 Chronicles chapter 9 and verse 20, if you want to read it for yourself. So I think Solomon, this man who God made wealthy, and then God said to him, you will be wealthier than anybody else. And he said further, and you will be wealthier than anybody else who will ever live. I think he knew something about money. So maybe if we listen to what Solomon has to say, we'll pull some information in about being rich. And that's why we are in chapter 3 of Proverbs. Look at verse 15. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. There you go. Isn't that a good line? Nothing you desire can compare with her. What? With wisdom. She offers you long life. How many want long life? You know, some people today don't want long life. Some people. And I can understand that. Some people are in pain and they don't want long life. Some young people are in pain and they don't want to live anymore. She offers you wisdom, offers you long life in her right hand, and riches and honor in her left. She will guide you down delightful paths. All of her ways are satisfying. Wisdom is of greater value than anything. But if you have wisdom, other things are going to show up. Did you catch that? If you have wisdom, these other things are going to naturally start to show up. Because wisdom leads you into things that causes you to have long life and honor and riches. It just does. That's what happened to Solomon. He doesn't say here that every rich person has wisdom, by the way. That's not what he's saying. But if we have wisdom, then prosperity will follow. Prosperous soul, prosperous life, prosperous health. He goes on to say in Proverbs 8, verses 17 through 19, I love all who love me. Those who search will surely find me. I have riches and honor, as well as enduring wealth and justice. This is, again, wisdom talking. Justice, by the way. We look around that whole justice thing. I don't understand what some of these people in Washington are doing, Mark. But wisdom holds justice. Anger doesn't hold justice. Wisdom holds justice. Worrying doesn't hold justice. Wisdom holds justice. I need to seek wisdom and ask God how to handle these things. Verse 19, my gifts are better than gold, even the purest gold. My wage is better than sterling silver. Wisdom has incredible value. Now, I'm just going to start going through a bunch of Proverbs here. You listen. I'll comment as we go. These are all things written by the man who was the most wealthy man ever in history or ever will be, according to the scripture. Proverbs 10:4. Lazy people are soon poor. Hard workers get rich. Does he mean everybody that works hard is going to get super rich? No. Does he mean everybody who is lazy won't have anything? No. But generally, as a rule, this is what happens. He doesn't say all poor people are lazy either, by the way, so don't go there. Sometimes we are poor for other reasons. But I believe if you work at it, you're going to see yourself prosper. And I think that's what he's saying. Proverbs 10:22 says, Proverbs 10:15 first says, the wealth of the rich is their fortress. The poverty of the poor is their destruction. It's hard being poor sometimes. I've been poor a little bit a couple of times. Not really. Not compared to people in the world. How many know what I'm talking about? I have felt poor. I've been behind on my bills. It was a dark time. Okay, just kidding. But yeah, we go through things. The blessing of the Lord makes a person rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Ah, the blessing of the Lord makes a person rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. How many of you have seen people who got rich and seemed like it brought sorrow? Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it does. Sometimes people aren't prepared to have wealth in the quantities that they have. And then they find out that some of their friends, who used to like them just fine when they were poor, only like them now if they give them a certain amount of money. And it makes them sorrowful. If the rich end up in sorrow, by the way, it wasn't because of something the Lord did. I want to remind you, too, as we look through these verses. Last week I took note that if you make 32,700, I believe was the number, just close to 33,000, if you make that, you are in the top 1% of wage earners on the planet. So some of you are in the top 1% in this room. And then others, by the way, are probably everyone in this room is within the top 10% of wage earners on the planet. 90% of the people on the planet don't make as much money as you. And that's even adjusted for their cost of living. Has God cursed everyone in this room because we're all so wealthy? Proverbs 13:11 says, wealth from get-rich-quick schemes quickly disappears. Wealth from hard work grows over time. We were already kind of mentioning that. How many of you heard of some of these people who won the lottery and then their life went to hell in a handbasket? Yeah. Proverbs 22:2 says, the rich and poor have this in common. The Lord made them both. He's not saying he made some rich and some poor. He's saying that he made each person. And then what happens to them, that's a little bit of a different thing. But he made us all. We're all the same. All men are created equal, according to the scripture. Proverbs 22:4, true humility and fear of the Lord leads to riches, honor, and long life. There's a good place to start. Let's just stay humble. Let's just stay humble. Let's trust that if we just stay humble, God will do what God wants to do when God wants to do it. And if we stay humble and trust in him, I think we've got a lot to look forward to. Do any of these verses give you, by the way, a distaste for rich people? Have you sensed that in anything I've read so far? A real, like, oh, rich people are just crappy. Rotten scoundrels. Here are some verses that I think some people take, and I've heard them try to twist these verses. And I told you I'd have a lot of scripture. I've heard people try to twist these verses to make it sound like there's something wrong with being rich, or that rich people are somehow bad. Psalm 37, verse 16 says, it is better to be godly and have little than to be evil and rich. I think that's true. It's better to be godly and have little than to be evil and rich. But that doesn't mean that everybody who's rich is evil. But sometimes people take it that way. Proverbs 28:6, better to be poor and honest than to be dishonest and rich. It doesn't mean that everybody who's rich is dishonest. Are there dishonest rich people? You bet. Are there dishonest poor people? Oh, you bet. I'll tell you the truth, I haven't known a whole lot of rich people. Like really rich, rich, rich people, like super rich. I did have lunch one day with a guy who was part of the whole streaming video thing years ago. He actually was one of the ones who got the streaming video thing happening at the beginning of it. And he was a multimillionaire. And I got to be at lunch with him one day. And so you know what I did? I bought his lunch. He looked at me so funny. He says, why are you buying my lunch? I said, because the Bible says what you do for others, God will do for you. I'm going to buy your lunch. Maybe God will make me rich. Now, I got to be careful about that because you don't want to be rich in the wrong way. We'll get to that. But it doesn't mean, he was a very honest, straightforward Christian man. By the way, I've had a lot of poor people knock on the door of the church needing something. And the same person went down the street, knocked on the door of another church, made a call to another church. went to another church, and in every case, they were still needing the same thing, even though each church was providing for them what they needed. By the end of the day, they'd gotten $20 from 50 churches for gas. It's a lot of gas, folks. You can be dishonest whether you're rich or poor. Psalm 49:6 says, they trust in their wealth and boast of great riches. I've seen some rich people who kind of did that, but I've also known some rich people who were very humble. Have you ever seen one of those guys who dresses in, you know, overalls and drives an old vehicle and he's got millions stuffed away in the bank? There are people like that. Somebody will say, well, but didn't Jesus say we weren't supposed to be rich? And they'll use a verse like this, Luke 12:33. Sell your possessions and give to those in need. This will store up treasure for you in heaven, and purses that of heaven that will never grow old or develop holes. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal, and no moth can destroy it. For where your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. That verse doesn't say, sell everything you've got. It says, sell stuff. You know what the great thing about having stuff is? You got stuff to sell. Sometimes it's good to sell some of your stuff. How many of you got stuff you don't need? We got a yard sale coming up, just to mention. But yeah, there's stuff we don't need. And sometimes we see somebody who is in need, and we can sell our stuff. It doesn't say sell all the stuff. Although, I think that's okay. If you feel like you're supposed to sell all your stuff, do that. I think that's a great idea. And here's the great part. Most of us in this room don't have enough stuff, don't have so much stuff that we would really, you know, I mean, if we sold all of our stuff, and we would be, well, maybe we'd be a great example to some really, really rich guy who really does have stuff. It should be easy for us because we don't have much stuff, right? Oh. Again, here's another scripture that some people try to use to condemn people for being rich. While Jesus was in the temple, he watched the rich people dropping their gifts in the collection box. Then a poor widow came and dropped in 2 small coins. I tell you the truth, Jesus said, this poor widow has given more than all of the rest of them, for they have given a tiny part of their great surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she has. Okay, that's awesome. But he wasn't condemning the rich here. He was setting an example of somebody who was really rich deep down in their heart. She was an example to rich and poor. But he wasn't condemning anybody else over that. Sometimes we read condemnation into things where we shouldn't read condemnation. Sometimes they're just examples for us to follow. Sometimes they're goals for us to set. Sometimes they're opportunities for us to take advantage of. There are a lot of scriptures that give warning to the rich. There are. And since we are in the upper 1%, maybe I should share some of those with you. You ready? Because you guys are rich. So maybe I better warn you of your behavior, all you rich people. Job 15:31. Let them no longer fool themselves by trusting in empty riches, for emptiness will be their only reward. Makes sense to me? If I'm trusting in the Lord, I have much to do with the riches that he's given me. But if I'm trusting in the riches themselves, I've got a problem. Job 24:22. God in his power drags away the rich. They may rise high, but they have no assurance of life. There you go. We don't base our trust in our riches. We base our trust in God. Proverbs 11:18. Evil people get rich for the moment, but the reward of the godly will last. That's good advice. Keep my eyes on God. Proverbs 13:8. The rich can pay a ransom for their lives, but the poor won't even get threatened. I like that one a lot. You know, nobody's gonna take you hostage if you don't have anything to give them. Proverbs 16:8. Better to have a little with godliness than to be rich and dishonest. Proverbs 18:11. The rich think their wealth as a strong defense. They imagine it to be a high wall of safety. Proverbs 22:1, choose a good reputation over great riches. Being held in high esteem is better than silver or gold. Proverbs 23:4, don't wear yourself out trying to get rich. Be wise enough to know when to quit. Boy, there's one. I have known of some rich people who kept trying to get rich and never, ever enjoyed any of what they had. Proverbs 28:11, rich people may think they are wise, but a poor person with discernment can see right through them. You can be smart about things. You can be wise about things. Proverbs 28:20, the trustworthy person will get rich, a rich reward, but a person who wants quick riches will fall into trouble. There are multiple scriptures that are similar. Did you notice that? Proverbs 28:22, greedy people try to get rich quick, but don't realize they are headed for poverty. You rich people need to listen to this. Me too. It's good advice. Proverbs 30, verse 9. For if I grow rich, I may deny you and say, who is the Lord? Gives me caution. What if I got rich? How would I handle riches? I'd like to see that. Maybe. How many of you know the Lord knows whether you can handle it or not? So he'll give you what you can handle. Ecclesiastes 5:12. People who work hard sleep well, whether they eat little or much, but the rich seldom get a good night's sleep. Maybe you don't sleep good enough for the Lord to prosper you. Just kidding. Listen to this from Matthew. Then Jesus said to his disciples, this is Matthew 19, 23 and 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. I'll say it again, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Then he says, following that, because they say, who can be saved? And he says, oh, with God all things are possible. I love Timothy. I always like reading from Timothy because my name is Timothy. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 says, yet true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave it. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. I believe it's content people who God can bless the most. When I am striving all the time, and I'm always striving for more, and striving for more, and striving for more, and I can't be content, I believe that puts me in an awkward position. Verse 8, so if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people craving money have wandered from the truth, the true faith, and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Remember earlier, God gives you wealth. It doesn't bring sorrow. I look at this verse and I think about this contentment and I think about the stuff that he's saying here. And I think, how wealthy do I want to be? Do I want to be wealthy enough that it keeps me up at night? Do I want to be wealthy enough that I have to watch what I'm doing during the day because somebody might come by and grab one of my kids and hold them hostage? Do I want to have that kind of wealth? James 5:1 says, look here, you rich people, weep and groan with anguish because of all the terrible trouble ahead in your life for you. Here's what I want to get from all those verses. I know I read a lot of verses there, so stay with me. Here's what I want you to get. Don't be jealous of rich people. Pray for them. They need our prayers. If somebody has been given massive amounts of wealth, don't sit back and judge them. Don't sit back and question what they do with it. Don't sit back and be negative about how they behave themselves and how they spend their money. They got enough trouble of their own without you troubling them further. Why don't you pray for them? Because obviously they have the capacity to generate and create wealth. Why did God give them that capacity? Because he wanted them to step up to the plate, become the person they were supposed to be, and do with it what would be pleasing to him. And by the way, pleasing to him, not necessarily pleasing to me. Listen to, again, the words of Solomon. I've said something like this, and I've had a few people say to me, you should believe God to make you wealthy. You've got all these cool ideas. I do think I have cool ideas. I don't know why they haven't come to fruition yet. By the way, I told you last week my son was going to see somebody about one of my ideas. The big boss got called away for something special with some big account or something, and my son has a new appointment on April 15th. So maybe one of these days, one of my ideas will do something, but if it doesn't, I'm okay with that. Why? Because here's what it says in Proverbs. First, Solomon says, first, help me never to tell a lie. Second, by the way, isn't that interesting? Help me to never tell a lie. I just like that. Think about that for a minute, because lies are easy to tell. Help me to never tell a lie. Second, give me neither poverty nor riches. Give me just enough to satisfy my needs. I think Solomon knew after all the wisdom that was given to him, all the immense wealth that was given to him, that it really didn't mean a whole lot, and it just did create a lot of responsibility for him. But I believe he was able to respond according to an ability that God had given him because of the wisdom that he had. So while there are Bible verses that can be taken negatively, I believe all the verses together bring us a balance that shows us that great wealth isn't in and of itself evil, but rather, to whom much is given, much is required. Luke 12:48. To whom much is given, much is required. To the 1%ers in the room, to whom much is given, much is required. To the 10%ers in the room, to whom much is given, much is required. Wow. I live in this country. God has blessed me. Wow. I have opportunity. I can do some things that not everybody in the world can do. In fact, not very many people in the world can do. So let's get to the responsibility just for a couple minutes. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 and 18 says, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money. You have to teach people this stuff. That's what I'm trying to get toward all of us rich people in the room here. We have to think about it. We have to learn how to not be proud and not trust in our money, which is so unreliable, he says. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives all things we need for our enjoyment. Stop! Did you know that God isn't upset when you enjoy the benefits of being blessed? It's okay to be blessed. It's okay to have a few luxuries in your life. God's not mad about that. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. God's given us a lot. He didn't say, take all you've got and give it to others. He said, share. Do you know what sharing is? Sharing is where we share a meal and we both eat. Sharing is where we share a roof and we both are covered. Sharing is where we share a blanket and we're both warm. Share. As God has blessed you, he wants to continue to bless you, and he's just looking for a heart that is looking for an opportunity to give with, to get with others and share. We are all stewards of what God has given us, and all of us will give account. It's really none of my business, by the way, what some other steward is doing, is it? Romans 14:4. Who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. This is where those of us who love God ought to be prayerfully supporting those who have been given much. As I mentioned, I heard some preachers the other day questioning some other preacher who I'd never even heard of. I didn't recognize the name. Apparently he writes books, and he's written a bunch of books, and for some reason he decided to give his wife a $150,000 car. And these preachers were... That's just not... I just don't think that's right. I don't think it's any of your business. This is where I wanted to get with this whole message, by the way, in case you didn't catch on to that. See, this is where we have this thing in America. Well, I can't believe that guy's got this and he's got that and they did that with their money and then blah, 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 blah. Why are you so aware of everybody else and unaware of yourself, 1%ers or 10%ers? You've already got so much going for you. I've got so much going for me. We've got so much going for us. Why would I worry about some guy I don't even know his name? It's just amazing to me. Don't worry about the rich. And let me say this. And this was in my notes before Mark got up and said what he said. Don't let the politicians pit you against the super wealthy or those who are richer than you. Or those who seem better off than you. And I'm not saying that some of the politicians, I don't know how some of them got their money, and some of it looks a little fishy to me. Yeah, well, no, there's a few of them that were wealthy when they went in. You know, they were already billionaires, and so they went in and whatever. Some of them suddenly became really, really rich after they got there. That's a whole other story. But here's the thing. Don't let politicians pit you against working people. Rich people, just because they're rich. Politicians want you to think that we'd all be better off under some kind of system where all those rich people paid all the bills. And I got to tell you, you start going down that road and you're going to have a mess. And if you don't think that's true, just ask some people who came out of communist countries. I will tell you that there are politicians right now who are pitting regular folk, quote unquote, the average American, which by the way, the average American is in the top 1% of the world, but they're pitting the average American against the billionaires and other people who make a lot of money, more than, or 4 or 5 or 6 or 10 times more than what the average American makes. And they're pitting those people against each other, but they're only doing it to get their plans through, to do things to give them power. And to put more money in their pockets. Don't go there. And don't be talked into that. Because it's a really bad thing that I'm hearing right now. Around the country. Focus on what God has you doing. I need to focus on what God has me doing. I need to say, what is it I'm supposed to be doing with what I have? And can I be a good steward of what I have to please the Lord? So I'm going to end with a one-liner. It's not a joke. It's just one line that I want you to think about. I want it to resonate in your ears. I'm going to pick on a preacher that you probably already know. But I don't have any. I just picked one. Picked one of the wealthy ones, okay? And here's what I'm going to say. Because people say this to me. What do you think of Joel Osteen, Pastor? I don't. Now my job's to focus right here. Right here, this guy. This guy right here has got enough going on to keep me really busy. And if he didn't, she'd help. She was just right. I'm busy enough with this guy right here. Amen. Yeah, some of you are like, I don't know how he handles it at all. That guy's a mess. All right.